So Colossians 1, 1 through 2, it's short, so I'm going to read it twice so we can savor it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lori. You may be seated. We are starting a new series this morning on the book of Colossians. So we're going to take, we do this from time to time. We'll preach topically. We just finished a series called A Word in Season. How many of you enjoyed that? Wasn't that good? Had a variety of speakers. It was great. And now we're going to jump into Colossians. We're going to preach through the book of Colossians over the next few weeks. And so we're starting in Colossians 1. That's a good place to start when you preach through a series on Colossians. And we're calling this Unearthing Colossians. Now, there's a man by the name of Jeffrey Manchester. Some of you might know that name. A few decades ago, he began to realize that McDonald's were all built pretty much the same, with the same system and the same schedule. And so he began to climb on the roofs of McDonald's at night, break in, and rob them periodically. And he robbed, I think, I don't know, 40, 50-some McDonald's before he finally got caught. And he went to prison, and then he broke out of prison. Hid underneath a work truck, broke out, and the authorities searched for him for about 6 to 7 months. And when they finally caught him, he had a girlfriend. He was basically pseudo-parenting with this woman. And he had been living inside of a Toys R Us for 6 months. Right above the bike rack, there was a spot in the store he'd figured out he could live there. And then, I don't know if y'all remember, if you're old enough to remember these, but Circuit City had closed down next door. So he had, you know, burrowed his way into Circuit City and lived for about six. During the holidays, he was a little busy at Toys R Us, so he kind of lived in Circuit City. But I say all that to say, the authorities were looking for this man, and he was literally living among them, hiding in Toys R Us. If you've ever watched the movie Roof Man, that's Channing Tatum was this character. Well, I think for us this morning as we study Colossians, that the truths of God, the riches of God are hiding many times right among us. And if we'll take the time to notice, if we'll take the time to unearth what God is going to say through this scripture this morning, through these scriptures the next few weeks, I believe your breakthrough's here. And it's interesting that Colossians is still covered up to this day. They know where it is. It's not hiding. They're not like the lost city of Colossae. You can, I think I have a picture of this. You can walk. There it is. It's, hey, that's the old Colossians. There it is. It slowly became irrelevant. There was an earthquake. It didn't quite get rebuilt. It slowly, people started leaving. There were other places to be. And it came covered in dirt. And now, I think in 2025, They just started excavating the site. So it'd been covered for centuries. Just a mound of dirt. You'd walk by and be like, there's Colossae. Keep going. This rich history, this knowledge, we're just starting to unearth. And when you know how that happened, it reminds me of another movie, one of my favorites, where this celebrity kind of accidentally happens upon this dusty town, the small town, starts relationships, realizes that life is more than just achieving and getting to the top. If y'all know the movie I'm talking about, it's Radiator Springs, right? Highway 55 got bypassed, right? That's why Colossae kind of fell out of grace, if you will. It was an influential city. It was a city that that had power in the region, in the province of Asia. There was kind of like a research triangle, if you will, but slowly the trade route had cut off Colossae and people didn't go there anymore. It became forgotten, so much so that we don't even care it's there. We don't even care enough to unearth it, right? But we're going to unearth it this morning, amen? And we're going to unearth it over the next few weeks, because here's what I want to pull out this morning for us. Unearthing Colossians, seen, sent, and significant. This is what Paul says to the saints at Colossae. To the saints at Colossae. It's interesting here, because when Paul laid out a map, he says, you know what, I'm going to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus has so changed my life. It's so radically changed who I am and what I'm living for. It's opened my eyes. I've seen the risen Christ. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to give everything for him. And I'm going to map out a strategy to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And what he does is he goes to the influential cities of the Roman Empire, eventually to Rome, and then to Spain. I'm going to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And here's his strategy. Go to big, influential cities, and then the gospel will go out. You know the city that was never on his list? Colossae. Not only was it on his list, he never visited it. Paul is writing this letter to a city he's never even been. I mean, I can just imagine. You don't have time, Paul, to just to kind of come on over a few miles from Laodicea. You don't have time to see. He just writes a letter and sends it. And I think that speaks to many of us this morning, is that we don't feel seen by God. We don't feel important enough for God to visit us. And I want to tell you this morning that you are seen. You are seen this morning. It's interesting that though Paul didn't visit, though it wasn't on his plan, God says, oh, I'm going to get the gospel to this city. And though it had been covered up, though it had been forgotten, you know what's happening? Is that today, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. See, the world may cover it up, the world may forget about it, but God keeps bringing it up in the hearts of people. We see this in the Old Testament when God said, look, Samuel had anointed a king named Saul. Y'all remember this? And Saul, eventually, though he started strong, turned away from the Lord. And God came to him, and Saul was depressed about it. I mean, I've kind of been where Samuel was. You know, you'd poured your life into someone. You'd seen them rise to a place, and then they turn away. And God comes to Samuel, and he says, Samuel, why are you mourning about Saul? Stop it. You've had your time. Mourn. Good. All right. Now, pick up your anointing oil and go anoint the next king. And sometimes we miss what God's doing, what God wants to do, because we're looking back on what he hasn't done. We're looking back on the failures of men. I don't know how many times I've sat in my quiet time and thought about the failures of a pastor, and it's consumed my thoughts, right? And God's saying, you know what? It's time for you to look up. I've got something new I want to do. We're missing sometimes what God wants to do now because we're worried about what happened yesterday. And here's the Lord, and he comes to, he said, all right, Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and he says, Jesse, pull out your sons. Y'all know this story? And he lines up his sons, and Samuel, one by one, goes through the sons of Jesse. And God says, not him, but he's tall and good looking and strong. Not him. Next one, not him. Next one, not him. He goes all the way down Jesse's sons, and he goes, do you have another son? Well, we got that, the half-brother, right? We got the half-brother over with the sheep kind of hidden away, and Jesse and Samuel says, bring him here. So here's the thing. You might feel you're hidden, but you're not hidden from God. His own dad couldn't remember to bring him to the party. Can you imagine in therapy? Like, my dad forgot, you know. The prophet came and, you know. The prophet came, couldn't even remember. Sent me out away. Maybe he won't see you. Here's what's interesting about the Lord. The Lord sees you. Doesn't matter what man does to hide you. God will find you. you are seen by the Lord. The world may overlook you, but God does not. Here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about a city the world has forgotten because God had a plan for that city. And some of the richest Christological theology comes out of this, this letter for us. You may be overlooked by the world, but you're never overlooked by God. My friend is a minister in Hawaii. He was from there. We were roommates in graduate school. And he would tell this testimony. He says, Blake, this young man, long hair, he kind of stumbled into our ministry. And a young, one of the girls in the youth group invited him. And so he showed up. And he began to come. I began to meet with him. He gave his life to Christ, began to establish foundations. And, you know, decades later, now he's a campus minister. He's a full-time missionary for Jesus. And he did not grow up in the church. He did not grow up. He stumbled into a youth group in high school. And begins to tell his testimony. He says, Billy, I was contemplating in my mind and making plans to come to school with a gun. And he's like, I'm sorry, what? He goes, you know, this was 15 years ago. I never told anybody about this. But coming into this youth group and seeing the love of God and people including me and speaking the truth to me and seeing Jesus and feeling the kingdom of heaven on earth, it changed my life. And it radically shifted his life and purpose. So, because here's the thing, no one saw that young man, but God saw. And he sent this girl to invite him in to a youth group service, and it radically shifted his direction. Here's the thing, is though the world may overlook you, you're never overlooked by God. Now, some of us in here this morning, perhaps you're maybe a new mother, and you feel like the trade routes have bypassed you. You feel you're all alone and at home. I just want you to know that the world may overlook you, but God sees you. You may have a cursory view of social media and feel like the world has passed you by. Everybody else has success. But I want to encourage you, the Lord sees you this morning. Perhaps all your friends are moving on to bigger and better things. But not you, the Lord sees you. Maybe this coming year is your first year in middle school. I hung out with some middle schoolers and high schoolers this weekend at the conference up in Durham. I just want y'all to be encouraged this morning. I snuck in the back. I wasn't supposed to be there. I snuck in the back just to be a part of the worship, and the presence of God was in that place. And when they said, hey, do you want a touch from God? Do you want to encounter the Holy Spirit? I'm talking dozens. I'm over 100 kids walked forward to receive an encounter of the Holy Spirit. God's seeing this next generation. But you might be a middle schooler or high school. This is your first year in that school. I want you to know, though you might be overlooked, I'm going to tell you this, God sees you. You're seen by the Lord. Perhaps you're entering a season of your life where you feel like everything else is moving around you and you're moving backwards. Let me help you this morning. God sees you. Colossae felt like, who am I anymore? And God says, I see you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to use you. Perhaps your marriage is going through a lonely season and you don't feel seen. First of all, let me encourage you in this. Every marriage goes through seasons. Because here's the lie, and I hear it in movies all the time. It shouldn't be this hard. Well, you're not doing it right, praise the Lord. Because it's hard, praise the Lord. Perhaps you didn't get into the school of your choice. I know some of us are like, man, I'm going to go here. And then you, in your eyes, you in here. And I'm going to tell you, God sees you. I remember having a sit down with my advisor in high school. I said, I'm going to ECU. She almost got emotional. She was like, I can't believe you're doing that. I'm excited about it, honestly. You could be so much more. I got no regrets by going to this university, praise the Lord, and meeting the God of heaven, radically shifting my life, amen? No regrets. God saw me, praise the Lord. God sees you. Some of us are in Greenville, not by your choosing. This is Paul right there. My contingency from California. I don't even know how we got here. Let me encourage you, God sees you. God sees you. Second thing we see here in this unearthing Colossians is not only are you seen, but you're sent. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Apostle means sent one. It means someone sent, a messenger. Paul understood this. He saw his life through the lens of being sent. Did you know Paul, and we talk about this a lot, but Paul was writing this letter from prison? Can you imagine? If you don't take the sent lens, if you don't put, I am sent by God. Listen to what he says. I am sent. I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, right smack dab in the will of God, is in prison. How many of us been like, what'd I do, Lord? Did I miss it? And then here we are through hardships, through a prison, if you will. And God's saying, look, you've been sent by me right where you are. So Paul's like, look, I can't go, but I'll write. He didn't let restriction keep him from being sent. How many of us can list the restrictions we have in this season of life? And we let that be the excuse that we can't be sent. We can't live on purpose. We can't live on mission. I know I can. I can write the list. And then God says, but I've sent you. You see, Paul was an enemy of the church, one of the great proofs, one of the great evidences that Jesus really did rise from the dead is the Apostle Paul, a murderer of Christians, on his way to Damascus, would shift his life and say, not only am I not going to do that, I'm going to push forward this testimony of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Here Paul is. He was a sent one. No matter what the enemy throws at you, you will bear fruit for the kingdom if you walk in sentness. Some of us have this mentality. When I get out of this prison, then I will attempt to live and do something for God. But Paul says, no. We got to shift from how could this happen to God will turn this tragedy into triumph. God will turn this tragedy into a testimony. The reason the gospel, if Paul didn't get to Colossae, what are we talking about? How did this happen? Here's how it happened. Paul goes to Ephesus and he plants a church. And this guy named Epaphras, which if you do your kind of research, that's Epaphroditus. That's one blessed by Epaphrodite. That's one blessed by the Greek gods and the Roman gods. And he wanders into Ephesus and he hears the gospel of Jesus, that he's alive, that he died for the sin. He gives his life to Christ. And the Bible says that Paul met every day in the school of Tyrannus. This is Acts chapter 16, I believe, or 19. Every day in the school of Tyrannus, and he equips these believers to follow Jesus. He makes disciples. He doesn't just make converts. He doesn't just fill stadiums. He doesn't just fill classrooms. He says, I'm going to pour my life into individuals. And this individual named Epaphras said, you know what? My people in Colossae, they need to know about this God. And so he goes and tells his family, tells his neighbors, and now there's a church, not just in Colossae, but the whole triangle of Laodicea and these other towns, because this man realized that Jesus didn't just save him, he sent him. Some of you need to realize this gospel that changed you needs to go back and help those who don't know, those who are bound in darkness. We got to go back. You're not just seen, you're sent. What I love about this too is that Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Here's my encouragement to you. If you want to live a life on sin, you better have some brothers and sisters. This isn't Paul and Timothy. This is Paul and Timothy, our brother. Do you have some our brothers? You know the difference? Because I know my brother. We walk together. We're blood. We ain't going nowhere. But we have our brothers. We have people that know him and people that know me. What is that called? That's called community. We don't just need to know, hey, there's Tim, my brother, but there's Jed who knows my brother. There's Beatty who knows my brother. There's this community now that we walk together as sent ones for the kingdom. We need our brothers. Who are our brothers? We're getting ready to have in September our life group fair. I'm going to encourage you, and we're going to do a special initiative on this, not just to have morning life groups, but evening life groups. We're trying to provide, that's why we're this emphasis on leadership development, because we know the gospel has to be played out in community. You can't just be seen, you got to be sent, and you can't be sent if you're alone. Paul and Timothy, our brother, and Epaphras, who went because he was sent by Paul. Your circumstances may strict you without removing your calling. I think some of us in here need to hear that this morning. Your circumstances may restrict you, but they don't eliminate your calling. There was this story in the Gospels where Jesus comes up to this blind man, and he says, I want to see, Jesus. And Jesus said, okay. He made some mud. Y'all know what that means, right? When Jesus is making mud, it means he's spitting in the dirt. So Jesus spits in the dirt. He makes this mud. He puts it on this man's eyes. And he says this, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And you'll see. And then it says in John, it says, Siloam means sent. And what Jesus is communicating here is some of our blindness to see what God is calling us to do, what we're supposed to do next, is because we haven't washed in the pool of sending. We haven't allowed the sending of God to come on us. We want him to be sent. We want her to be sent. But we don't realize that God's sending us. And God's saying, look, I want to take the blinders off of what I called you to do, but you've got to bathe in your sending. You've got to get down and let the sending of God come on you. What does that mean, Blake? That means this, that you have to realize that the gospel has so changed us that God wants us to be a part of what he's doing. That you have a mission. God wants to put you on mission with him. He's sending you. Stop focusing on the restrictions and comparing yourself to others and start asking, why has God sent me here? Why has God sent me here? Can y'all ask that this morning? Why has God sent me here? Some of y'all have been asking that a long time. And I'm going to encourage you. God sent you here because he sent you here. Why did this happen to me? We need to start asking, what does God want me to know and what does he want me to do while I'm here? Wherever God has placed you, he has a purpose for you. Wherever God has placed you, he has a purpose for you. Middle schooler, you're in that school because God has a purpose for you. High schooler, you're in that school because God has a purpose for you while you're there. You're on that ball team. You're in that club. You're a part of that group because God has a purpose for you there. He hasn't just seen you. He sent you. Number three, you are significant. You are significant. Paul, Timothy, our brother. Epaphras is kind of, we're going to get to him throughout this study, but and the saints and faithful brothers. Paul, this mega apostle, is sending a letter to this small, insignificant place because it's this letter that will change history, not just for them, but start a spiritual legacy. Though the city may die, the legacy continues. We had a funeral recently. Pastor Mike was there about a stalwart, a man of honor in the business world, in this community. He loved Jesus, and he made impact, and he was a giver. He has a spiritual legacy, even though he's no longer with us. And I remember we had some older members of our church who had moved away, came back for the funeral. And I began to think about, we even talk about this in staff meeting, the Abernathys and the Lesperances. Most of the names, you're like, who? Y'all don't know these people because they used to be here and they moved away. But we're still walking in the legacy of their spiritual inheritance in this house. I think Allison was mentioning, I remember as a college student, I went to their life group in their home. And it so impacted me. That's what kind of catalyzed my discipleship in this house. They're not here anymore, but their legacy lives on. You don't realize the significance of your faithfulness right where you are and the impact that'll have on generations. The fruit of your faithfulness. Students graduate and they take the gospel with them. Leaders invest in someone who invests in someone else. Paul to Timothy to Epaphras, now three cities filled with gospel churches to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because discipleship always spills over. The fruit of faithfulness continues. In January of 1850, an unknown 15-year-old boy was struggling deeply with guilt and uncertainty about his salvation. There was a big winter storm this particular Sunday, and so he wanted to go to this particular church but couldn't make it, so he just kind of fell into this small church. It was a couple dozen people had showed up, and the pastor couldn't even make it. The snow was so bad, he didn't able to get there. And this lay leader, a cobbler, a tailor, stood up, and he just read the scripture out of Isaiah. And it said this, Isaiah 45, "Look unto me, and ye be saved, all the ends of the earth." That was all it took for this 15-year-old boy to say, I see that the gospel isn't something I earn, we sang about that this morning, but something I receive. This man noticed this 15-year-old boy, and he said, "Young man, you look very miserable. Look to Jesus." Right? Not the professional. I love what Justin said. I'm a lay minister here. Not the professional. That wasn't the best gospel presentation I've heard. You look miserable. Look to Jesus. I can tell you dozens of stories where worse gospel presentations than that changed someone's life. And you know what? That young man, I bet, you know what he thought? Man, I could preach better than that. He was like, that wasn't even very good, but I see Jesus. That young man was Charles Spurgeon, who would become the Prince of Preachers, who would lead the first kind of mega church in London and plant 100 churches and evangelists out in the city of London. Changed the city, changed the nation, changed the world. I'm still reading his writings at night and morning and evening. He has a devotional. This 15-year-old boy who had heard a bad gospel presentation, but Jesus opened his eyes because he was faithful. Your faithfulness bears fruit. You are a link in a gospel chain this morning. Do you understand that? You're a link in a gospel chain. You've received the gospel of Jesus because someone passed it to you. Who will you pass it to? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be dead and gone one day. And newsflash, so are you. And so, who will you pass this gospel to? Will the next generation be able to carry the good news of Jesus and pass it to their kids? You are a link in a gospel chain. And you are significant. Do you see that? You will never know how far your faithfulness will go. Could be a life group. Could be taking a step of faith and having a conversation at work. It could be finally stop making the excuses and showing up to a group of men and women and letting them know what you're struggling with. I remember the first time I did that. It radically shifted my life. Finally, you are saints sanctifying. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ Jesus at Colossae, grace and peace to you. It's funny when you realize that something's not for you. You ever realize that? This younger generation, they're good at this, boy. They know. this is not for me, and they just exit, you know. You're like, wait, I think maybe you could have gleaned something for that. Nope, not for me. Not for me. That must be Dad's algorithm, right? That must be Mom's. Not for me. Right? To the saints. What an interesting way to start a letter, right? There are denominations in Christianity that put sainthood up here. You got to live your whole life. You got to have these measurements. You got to have some miracles. And then maybe after you're dead, we're going to make you a saint. Look what Paul's saying here. He's writing to the saints. Saints, some of your translations may say holy ones. You know who that is in this passage? That's you, if you're in Christ. See, Paul's trying to set you up. He's saying, look, we sang about this morning. You are holy because Christ made you holy. This is an identity statement. We did a whole seminar on this at the Ascend conference yesterday. This is an identity statement. You are holy in Christ. The reason I know that is because there's a lot of foundational things in the rest of this book that Paul wouldn't have been writing to saints if they were up there, but saints down here. And so Paul is trying to help us realize something this morning, that we are saints, we are holy, we are set apart to God. That's what holy is. That's what saints are. Set apart for God by his doing, his choosing, his dying, his recruiting, his opening our eyes so we might see Jesus. To the saints, holy ones, set apart. I don't know if you realize this, but the other reason I know this is because he says, grace and peace to you. If you're a saint, you don't need no grace. Right? You've already received it. You're already at peace. Y'all have seen saints? They're always like this. Some statue. They're at peace, brother. They know they don't need peace. Grace and peace. Grace. Grace means this: God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God. We need the grace of God. And it comes to saints, those who have been redeemed in Christ. You are saints, sanctifying. But he goes on to say, to the saints and faithful brothers. Let me encourage you this morning. You are saints in Christ. And let me challenge you this morning. But are you faithful? You can be a saint and not be faithful. God has redeemed you. God has opened your eyes. You have surrendered your life to Christ, but slowly over time you begin to walk away. Other things are more important. You've been distracted. You've been sucked in. And though you're his, you haven't been faithful. Here's my encouragement to us this morning, my challenge. God is writing this letter, Paul, to you, that there's work to be done. Growth is necessary. Although he's redeemed you, he hasn't left you. Although he's redeemed you, he hasn't forgot about you. Although you feel like, hey, I'm just covered up with a bunch of dirt, God said, no, I'm about to unearth this calling. I'm about to unearth this destiny. I'm about to unearth everything I've got for you. Though you've been hidden away, God sees you. He hasn't just seen you, he sent you. Saints of God, you are significant this morning. You're a piece of a train, piece of a chain that God is passing. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. That no matter what season of life we're in this morning, I know for a fact there are many in this room that feel like that God doesn't see them. You feel alone. You feel overlooked. You feel like God's forgotten. I just want to encourage you this morning. God sees you. He knows right where you are, and he hadn't forgotten about you. Your setback is only a setup for for what God has for you. He's not hiding you to forget you. He is shifting you. It could be in a perspective. It could be a circumstance. If you're in here this morning and you're saying, Blake, I feel unseen. And I want to know that God sees me this morning. I need prayer. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. 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 Father, you see these hands. Your sons and your daughters. Lord, you transcended heaven and earth to die on the cross for their sins because you care for them. And Lord, I pray this morning you would meet them in this holy place, in their humility to say, I need you, God. Lord, I pray for a shift, Lord, for a shift of faith from doubting to believing that they're seen by you. That you're for them and not against them. There's some of us in this room who, though they know Jesus, they've left the sending for somebody else. They haven't seen their life with purpose and mission for Christ. And God is stirring you this morning to say, Father, I want to be sent by you. I don't want to just exist. I want to live with purpose. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Amen. Lord, I pray. You see these hands. Lord, we long for purpose. You've made it. You've made us for purpose. To work and to stretch our faith and to step out and to believe. Lord, you've designed us for this. And you want to partner with us. Lord, I pray for clarity. For clarity, Lord. Lord, you don't have to reveal the whole plan, just the next step. Lord, I pray that you would reveal the next step to individuals this morning. Take that next step, Lord. Father, I thank you that we don't have to earn right standing with you. It's a gift received by faith. We don't have to dig out this gift, Lord. It's been given to us. Lord, I pray even over the next few weeks as we unearth Colossians, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, for a deep understanding, knowing what you're calling us to do, how you're calling us to live, how we're called to walk with you and with each other, Lord. Lord, I just pray for each one in this room, if they don't have community, if they don't have an Our Brothers, Lord, Lord, they'd start taking that step towards it. We'd lay down our excuses. We'd lay down our reasons. We'd say, Lord, I need to walk towards community, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Thank you so much for being with us here at GCF Church. If you are new here and want to know more about GCF, we have our Discover GCF moment. We're going to be in the hospitality room. Pastor Beatty's going to be in there. We'd love to answer any questions you have and meet you. If you need prayer this morning, our prayer team's going to be up here. And then we've got our Worship in the Word, our final one of the summer, this Wednesday. We'd love to have you. At 7 p.m. You guys have an amazing day. We'll see you next week.
expecting for strongholds to break, cause we know what you can do, we know what you can do. We're gonna see lives changed.